the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Alan Quillen is with us, I think. Good morning to you, Alan. How are you?
Morning, Ger. How are you?
Yeah, good. Nathan is making the case that Munster are under a bit of pressure this week. I actually think that Munster... I have a theory, right? This could be complete horseshit. And feel free to disabuse me of the notion if you want. But I think that Munster looked around with the ball deep in stoppage time against Leinster and kicked it out thinking, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, lads, and we'll be happy to, because we've seen your best shot and we're 2 points down and we got absolutely destroyed by injuries and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Let's be having you.
It's not a crazy theory. I think, look, at that stage, they probably needed the bonus point and were happy enough to take what they had, and the clock was nearly run out and Craig Casey kicked the ball out. He seemed a bit deflated doing it. Maybe he got the message just to put it out. But look, it was always a possibility that they were going to play Leinster. I think the other games were out of their control. Edinburgh playing Glasgow, and Edinburgh had won the night before. So it was a possibility. I think if you asked them beforehand and asked any Munster fan, that they'd prefer to avoid Leinster in the semi-final, and Leinster would probably prefer to avoid Munster as well in the semi-final. But it is what it is, and it's kind of back to the wall stuff. The deflation over the Snyman injury last week, I think, and getting that out of their system yesterday, and something to look forward to. It's tough 5 days, but Leinster will get better, though. That's the issue here. Jared Munster have got to get a lot better, but I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, they'll still be very, very mindful of how good Leinster are, and the gravity, the situation ahead of them.
At the same time as well, like, they do back themselves to win this game. I can't see that Munster team being in any way daunted by the fact that they're playing this Leinster side, that they're somehow already a couple of points down in their own heads. They're thinking, we're just as good as this team, surely.
Well, I think they look back at, it's tough because confidence and self-belief is something that comes with winning. And, you know, they haven't beaten Leinster and Dublin since 2014. And the vast majority of the results, Leinster have won them, and they're on an unbeaten run. So trying to block out all those factors, that's reality. But I think, look, they'll feel that, you know, a deal in the end of the side with Byrne back. Conor Murray's playing very well again. That they have a shot, but they've probably got to get their best performance and stop Leinster a little bit. They did cause issues from Leinster at the breakdown and for Connacht yesterday, so that's an area that they seem to be very competitive in. And, you know, if they stop Leinster's flow a little bit, look back at that match a couple of weeks ago. Leinster had more possession, more territory, and they just created opportunities, but still a little bit off having that killer instinct that Leinster have, and that standard of taking opportunities. When you get one line break, you score the try. They didn't have many line breaks in that game against Leinster. So, look, there'll be a confidence there that they're not far away, but the reality is they've got to get a lot of stuff right to beat Leinster. And, you know, it's a great opportunity. They're off for a month if they don't win this game. So it's kind of throw the kitchen sink at it. But they've got to be a lot more accurate. They made a lot of mistakes yesterday and were inaccurate in certain areas. And that's something they need to be a little bit better with. But yeah, look, they'll throw everything at it, and there'll be a certain sense of belief in them that they can do it, but they've got to play really, really well to do it.
They killed Leinster in the line-out as well. That was the other kind of aspect of it, that the set piece that traditionally Leinster had down, because obviously they've had Devon Toner there for so long. Even when Toner came on, Munster were still dominant at that. So I just felt like there were enough questions in that Munster posed of Leinster for it not to be the one-way traffic that we've seen in these games, or have that automatic expectation. We kind of know what's going to happen in this game. Munster will be in it for a little period of time. They'll make a couple of mistakes. Leinster's pressure will tell eventually. Leinster will come off the gas a little bit. Munster will come back into it, but it'll flatter to deceive. Didn't feel like that at all, really. It felt like it was a proper game. They were both sides had the chance to win.
Yeah, it did. And Munster's lineup was very good yesterday. They won 21 from 21. It has been good from the execution. It's been very good. One lineup can change, win or lose you a game. So I think, you know, the pressure Peter O'Mahony and Ty Byrne, and whether it's Billy Holland or Finneen Witcherly playing the second row, putting pressure on Leinster is an area that any team would try and do if when they're playing against them, because Leinster's attack from set piece, particularly off the line-out, is sublime at times and has been a massive strength for them in the last few years. And you know, if you focus too much on trying to stop the opposition, it can be very, very dangerous. Munster have just got to make sure they're far more accurate with the ball and you know, obviously applying that pressure, but just more accurate. And when they create the opportunities, they'll take hope from and a lot of confidence in the fact that when they built a number of phases, they created some opportunities. And with D'Alinde and Farrell, if they get the kind of ball to them, good quality ball, they can cause problems for Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose, who are outstanding players, experienced players, but they can still impose themselves there. And you know, Earls and Conway, if they get enough of ball in the wings, they can score tries as they've shown. But ultimately, it'll be down to what's going to happen up front. Leinster will have a number of players back, and there probably will be a fair bit of pressure on Ronan Keller to get those lineouts right, to get the calling systems right, and maybe Toner will start to get, you know, to sort out those lineout problems maybe that they had against Munster in the first game.
Nathan, go on.
Sorry, I was just going to say, you touched on one of the other issues Munster face on Friday night, Quinny, which is they've got 5 days, whereas Leinster will change their entire team, you would expect, pretty much, and have had 2 weeks. We're going to have a lot of these issues player welfare-wise over the next 18 months, you'd imagine, such as the cramped calendar. Do you think it took much out of Munster? It was obviously a strange sort of game in that it won quite early. It got quite dirty in some ways. But physically, do you think they'll be able to come back in 5 days and get to their peak?
Yeah, I don't see it as a major problem. They've been off for nearly five months. So the players, you can't say that they're tired and that they're fatigued from a number of games. Of course, you'll have bangs and knocks and bruises after a game like that. And I know from experience myself, to go again 5 days later is tricky because you would be sore from it. The most important thing for them is the mental approach this week. They won't do anything too physical. They'll walk through some plays and try and do some team stuff together, just jogging through it. There'll be no contact and stuff. And I think the biggest problem with fatigue is mental fatigue. Sometimes it can work in your favour where you get that bit of a battle-hardened game and that you get that little bit more energy and you get that little bit more fitness you can take from that game. So listen, if Leinster start great on Friday night and are up a number of scores in the first half, inevitably everybody will say, well, Munster are tired, Leinster are fresh. So Munster have just got to try and make sure that they start the game well and that notion doesn't come into the game and they start asking questions of Leinster. But Leinster are so good. There's so much experience. And the biggest strength in the last number of years is the composure and the patience that Leinster have. They don't panic if someone gets a score. They back themselves to go up the field and if they concede and fix that situation and get a score themselves. They score at the right time in games. But it's the mental thing for Munster, really, this week. I think that game was... it's probably one you just throw in the bin, really, because I think it went pretty crazy when the Connacht players were sent off. The ill discipline from both sides in the end, there was 36 penalties. It was crazy. 22 penalties in the first half. Connacht probably set the tone with their poor discipline at the start of the game, and then the cards ruined that game. So you would have expected, would Leinster score 70 points against Connacht yesterday? Probably. Munster still finding their feet a little bit and gelling a little bit, but I think Stephen Larkham will certainly look at trying to get as much quality ball to his back line on Friday night, and that's where they can probably ask the questions. The other key area is probably the back row, Stander O'Mahony, and who'll play seven? Well, it'll be Tommy O'Donnell, Clote, Jack O'Donnell, who knows? But they're really crucial. I think Stander's been fantastic in both games, and he's forced a number of turnovers, so... Leinster will have seen all that. And, you know, as I said, they're such a quality side. The narrative that you said, Ger, is probably the one that will play out. It's up to Munster themselves to try and change that.
The other big debate in Irish rugby over the last 5 years has really been the strength and depth at Leinster and how, you know, they really need to start diffusing their talent into the other provinces. They've done that, and still they're what you would really paint as their second choice team were absolutely brilliant. Like over the course of the 80 minutes, there's all of the hallmarks of the incredibly well coached team that is their first team still in evidence in everything that the second tier team is doing. And very quickly, some of those players in that second tier team are going to be bursting into the first team.
Yeah, and I think you said it, very well coached. There's a template there and there's a standard there that the second string players come up and they adhere to, they implement, and there's a massive hunger and desire, and that's great for any coach to have. We have young players coming into a side trying to prove a point, and that hunger that's in that Leinster group is what's driving them on, I think, and that's what keeps standards high. It keeps players who are on the starting team on their toes, and they've got to go out and train well every time and then play well. So the strength and depth is brilliant. You look at Scott Penny, only came off the bench the other night and had a massive impact. Will Connors was brilliant. Josh Murphy was brilliant, and Max Deegan. So the back row depth is phenomenal. They're probably a little bit lighter in the second row with James Ryan being injured. Ryan Bear played very well against Munster, but it's an area that's probably a little bit lighter for them. And, you know, they'll be delighted if Tadhg Furlong can get back this week. So that depth is phenomenal. And the standard to keep setting is there for everyone to see. To make 15 changes and to beat Ulster by, you know, 28-10 on Saturday. The game probably hinged and changed a bit on that intercept with John Cooney. I think it was a massive turning point. If Ulster had scored there, it could have been a little bit of squeaky bum time at the end. But I think Leinster were very, very dominant throughout that game, and they showed a lot of frailties in that Ulster side.
Is the Stockdale at fullback, is that something that we're trending towards, or is it arrow up or arrow down? Where are we at the moment, do you think?
It's a real possibility. I think the kicking option is massive. I still think he needs to be a lot more physical in the air, a lot more dominant. But it's something that, you know, such an athletic, fantastic player who has pace, power, probably did the kicking stuff, the receiving the ball in the air and some of the defensive stuff is still something that needs to probably be a bit more aggressive and a bit more dominant. But it's a real live option for Andy Farrell, and he's certainly someone. There's a lot of back three players, really good back three players there in Ireland, and it's an option for them. I think one of the kicks was unbelievable out of the 22 down past the halfway with that left boot, and it's a massive option to have as a fullback, to have another kicking option like that.
You put yourself in Andy Farrell's shoes and thinking, I need wins because it's early on and we've had the trauma of the World Cup and I was obviously part of that team. But equally, you want to try and build something for the future. So it's a very unique situation he's going into over the next couple of months, where there's that tournament, we're not even sure exactly what the makeup of the teams in that tournament is going to be. Does he look at these as an opportunity to give everybody that little that chance and build genuine depth and genuine competition so that we don't get to the scenario that we had really under Joe Schmidt, where we knew the first team because Schmidt had decided who the first team was? Like, what's the best case scenario for an Ireland coach? Not knowing who your team is, or knowing exactly who your team is and then playing well?
A little bit of both. I think you still want to know the vast majority of your players and have a couple of guys really asking questions. And fullback is an area that, you know, Rob Kearney dominated that position for 12 years, 13 years, and was outstanding. He was world class there. And that's a position that's opened up now. And Jordan Armour's played there. Andrew Conway, Stockdale can go in there. It's a position you want to try and get a bit of stability in, because it's a real pivotal area. Most teams kick the letter off the ball nowadays, and it's such a really important part of the game, your kicking game. And if you have a dominant fullback who kind of nullifies that, it can really halt the opposition. So it's a concern, that one, because you really want a safe pair of hands back there. I think a lot of people talk about the attacking ability of fullbacks, and would you go for attack over defence? I always think you have to go for defence a little bit more over attack, and that stability of covering that backfield and being really solid there. In an ideal world, you'd have both. We have to be dominant in the air. The kicking game nowadays in modern rugby is just, it's such an important part for all teams. And for Andy Farrell, I don't think he'd be mixing and matching too much. Ireland could still win the Six Nations. There'd be a windfall of money there for the IRFU. So I'm sure that he won't have any wriggle room there to kind of mess around and play second string teams against Italy or France. He's going to have to try and win those. I'm sure you can mix it. He'll have to mix and match a little bit in November because of the run of games that particularly all those Leinster players will probably have it with Europe as well. So having a 15 nailed down, it's something that came up a lot at the World Cup, that we could pick the team. I think there's certain areas in the back row possibly that guys can seamlessly transition in and foreign players can be picked, but by and large the vast majority of the team is you know 10 11 12 players are we probably will know what they are beforehand, and that's the nature of most international teams, and Ireland want to be a top team and get back near the top again. So you might see some changes for Italy and a little bit of movement there, but Andy Farrell needs to get a hit out with the team before they go to Paris for the French game. So it's probably November before you'll see a little bit of rotation.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning, Alan. Cheers.
Cheers, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.